Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Happy Thanksgiving. I am so excited to share this show with you today about the spirit of the harvest. Perhaps some of you saw my lecture on Sunday for the Church of the Living Spirit on November 22nd. This is going to be a spin-off on that so that I can maybe expand on a few of the topics that I was able to cover since I've got more time with my show, Wednesdays with Willa. So thanks for tuning in today on Wednesdays with Willa. This is my weekly podcast show. My name is Willa White, for those of you who don't know me. And you can find me on Facebook at Willa White Medium. And that is where the show airs live on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. So you're welcome to tune into the show. I've got great guests that come on the show. We talk about different spiritual topics relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And I featured a lot of great places in Lilydale, a lot of tours. So I encourage you to look at the archive videos on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. I also have a YouTube channel. And so a lot of the shows I post onto my YouTube channel. So if you look for Willa White on YouTube, you will find me and you can subscribe to that channel. And I am uploading, in the process of still uploading the various years of shows. I've got 3+ years of shows to get uploaded to YouTube, so be patient with me. But if that's your platform that you like to view me on, I'm all for it. And then also I wanted to let you know you can subscribe to my website, which is willowwhite.com. And by doing so, the other things that happen down the road in the future with that website. But for now, what it will give you an opportunity is to have updates through email about different events, classes, promotions, discounts that I'm offering. And so that's the way to do it. If you go to willowwhite.com, in the upper right-hand corner, you can subscribe. And then you can be notified about things. I'm going to be notifying people there usually first and then Facebook. So I wanted to let you know that was an opportunity for you. So I'm part of the Lilydale family and Lilydale radio family, I should say. And so there are 5 different radio shows that Lilydale does through blogtalkradio.com, just Lilydale Radio. If you look that up online, you'll be able to find and tune in to the different shows. We all have something different to offer and different takes on spiritual ideas and spiritualism. And so you can certainly look at those and check out the different shows. And today's show, I'm flying solo. Sometimes I have guests, sometimes I fly solo. Today's a solo show as I'm getting ready for Thanksgiving here in the United States. Turkey Day is tomorrow, and I've got a big old turkey for my just immediate family. We'll be eating off that turkey for probably a good few days beyond the actual Thanksgiving holiday. And, thinking about the mashed potatoes, thinking about the pumpkin pie, putting that all together. But I certainly realize that for many people, this is a very different year. What usually is a gathering time for family and friends over that table for the feast of joy of Thanksgiving is now a time when many people may be very separate from others or just in small units or more likely alone. And so that's why I thought it was so important to share some of my thoughts with you today about Thanksgiving so that you can perhaps celebrate in a different way. Because I really do feel that in the midst of all of this, we can celebrate the harvest and offer Thanksgiving for the abundance in our life, for the blessings in our lives by focusing on those. And I know most people really associate Thanksgiving with the Pilgrim's First Harvest Dinner. I mean, if you've been to school in the United States, you know that usually people put on pilgrim hats or make them out of construction paper, and they make little turkeys And it's a big day here just to be kind of funny and in that historical reference, but you can really dude it up if you want to. But today's lecture, I'm really going to focus on helping you understand what I feel is the spiritual weight of this particular holiday. In my opinion, most people do not give Thanksgiving its due, its spiritual weight. And so I'm hoping that with my show today that I can give you some food for thought for this Thanksgiving, spiritual food, that is. And harvest dinners have happened for thousands of years around the world. Families, villages would have special meals and festivals, and they would delight in the abundance of their gardens and their access to food. You know, we're fortunate, my family and I, we do have a veggie garden space, and it's so much fun to see how that transpires. You know, we prepare the soil, till it up so that we can then plant the seeds at the correct time and then watch it grow. And then, you know, when the peas come up, to harvest the peas fresh from the garden. And it's just so wonderful to have that access to food that we have. And, you know, throughout the world, that's how it is. When you find food, that idea of the nourishment that is there, food is a representation of energetic currency. You know, when you think about currency, you think about money, you think about financial. But before there were coins, there was food. And that's what was important to people. And I don't think that's ever going to change. And I do feel we have to honor the understanding of that growing process that we have energetically within our gardens and also within our souls. And so we're going to be talking about that today, merging those ideas to have a bit of a better understanding, because we really need to honor that growing process. That's what the harvest is about. That's what Thanksgiving is about, honoring that growing process from start to finish, from the soil to the seeds to the weeding to the tending until you have that final harvest. And in modern times, with this instant access to fruits and vegetables, a lot of times we just kind of take for granted our food sources. You know, so many of us don't necessarily take part in that growing and harvesting process and often don't think about it. But I really do encourage you to think about that harvest today. That is something that's important symbolism that's being used that can be applied to the spiritual matters in your life today. And we have that wonderful symbol of the cornucopia. For those of you who don't know what the cornucopia is, it's also known as the horn of plenty. And that cornucopia, a lot of times people will use it in their Thanksgiving decorations. I don't have one myself, but it really represents that symbol of abundance, that symbol of a bountiful harvest, and by extension, appreciation for having those things in our life. And Zeus, that mythical Greek god, he is the one who had that horn of plenty. He's the one who represented. So there's the idea of the divinity giving us abundance, giving us plenty. And that has been part of the mythos of humankind since the beginning. And Joseph Campbell, if you really are into the idea of mythology and how it has been built up over time and why it's important to have these kind of divinity symbols, I encourage you to look at Joseph Campbell. He's an excellent source for information about things. But to have the divinity source, the Zeus way back then, to have this representation of symbolic bounty is really important. So in today's time, Thanksgiving really does bridge the gap. So we have what we have from the beginning of the soil, the seeds, the tending to it, the harvest. And then here we are at Thanksgiving and we get to feast. Here is our opportunity to really see the fruits of our labors, to see and have the feast before us and know that we have enough food to get us through winter. So this is this bridging that Thanksgiving represents to get us to the following spring, the following planting, the following year. And I really feel people need that kind of hope right now more than ever, that we're going to get to another year, that there is abundance to be had in this year and in the next. And sometimes things are not always what we want them to be, especially in the midst of all this COVID confusion. I think it's important that you celebrate a different aspect of things with that spiritual weight upon this and celebrate the harvest and give thanksgiving for the blessings in our lives. So I'm going to explain a bit about what I mean by the spirit of the harvest, because that Thanksgiving and the spirit of the harvest, that's the title of the show. And we need to understand what the definition of harvest is as it relates to your spiritual life. So the definition of harvest means the result or consequence of any act, process, or event. And that leads us to then the spirit of the harvest. And the spirit of the harvest is described in the Bible and other spiritual texts. You see, that symbolic meaning of the harvest in Scripture really encompasses two main areas. We have God's provision for us, and we have God's blessings for others. So we celebrate this harvest season just once a year with our Thanksgiving, and we're truly experiencing the spirit of harvest all the time. And so how do we experience the spirit of the harvest? We can experience it through spiritual natural law. Whatever we sow, we reap. And that is something that as spiritualists, we study, like, what is it that we're bringing to the table? We do have those laws, the spiritual natural laws, the law of attraction, the law of personal responsibility, the law of cause and effect, karma, the law of grace. There are these laws of resonance that we need to be in tune with. And when we work with them, we can really reap, we can harvest that which we truly desire to have as significance in our lives. So throughout the Bible, one of the reasons I get excited about the Bible is because it has so many wonderful spiritual symbols in it. And I really do feel there's this beautiful symbol code that is in that if you take the time to really read it in that way. So anyway, throughout the Bible, the harvest really carries spiritual significance. So it's used often in parables and as a metaphor for spiritual growth. A lot of Jesus' stories relate to plants, relate to growing, relate to the idea of spiritual growth and health. And harvest has always been this beautiful and important part of earth, the time when the year's work bears fruit and people are fed. And it's symbolic of the bounty and the health and the abundance. And it should be celebrated when we have enough. Do you have enough in your life? Do you have food? Do you have shelter? You kind of get back into the basic things and what you can then offer to other people in that regard, the best of yourself, even if it's something simple. And Jesus even mentions in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Do you feel harassed and helpless sometimes? They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So there are a lot of different layers to this, but for today, we'll just focus on the one aspect of the layer, the idea of there is plenty, divine right timing, and there is plenty. We have to sometimes work for that. We have to do our part to be part of that harvest, to have that ability to see that which is right before us that can be an abundance opportunity for us. But when I was reading this verse, something jumped out at me that I hadn't fully appreciated before. And that, you know, this time when I read that, it wasn't necessarily the actual context or the content, but it was that simple title that Jesus references, the Lord of the Harvest. Is this precisely where I feel God and the divine, infinite intelligence needs to be put in that place in our own lives? In my own, in my life and in the lives of others, we have to give thanks to that which we have received. You see, that translation of the word Lord, those who follow spiritual natural law, you know that the word Lord in the Bible actually equates to the word for law, as in spiritual natural law. And the symbolic meaning of the harvest in scripture really encompasses two main areas, as I said before, God's provision for us and God's blessing for others. And so we really can experience that spiritual harvest. And the spiritual harvest is a result of God's work on the heart of mankind. And I notice that sometimes when I start feeling a little too human about something, let's say the other week I fell into what I consider to be a bad habit. And I don't know what you consider to be a bad habit per se, but a bad habit for some might be biting their nails or eating chocolate every day, or maybe saying harsh words to someone and, you know, realizing that that was not what you should have done. Or maybe it's an addiction of some sort that has been going on for a long time. But I had just fallen into what I consider a bad habit, a bad pattern of reaction, or a bad habit is what I would count that as. And when I was preparing for this lecture that I was doing for the church and for this show, ultimately, I noticed that that bad habit ended abruptly. And I knew that the reason that it ended so abruptly is that I had stepped into a fuller sense of myself again. You see, in preparing for my church lecture, in preparing for this Wednesdays with Willa, I was immersing myself totally into spiritual thoughts and words. And when you do that, bad habits and bad thoughts and the things that you need to weed out of yourself start to come loose. It's easy to just uproot those false thoughts, those false ideas, and grab hold of them and let them go and put them into the compost pile where they belong. And so that's what it's really important, that we tend our garden, we tend our minds, our bodies, our souls, with that understanding that at any given moment, we can weed out those things we no longer need, that are perhaps growing up in us that we don't want to give space in our garden. So I think that's an important aspect to all of this that we're talking about today. And part of that harvest that that you reap is about how you prepare the soil. And when I was looking at the word soil, I started going, oh my goodness, soil, S-O-I-L. If I just change one letter of the word soil to you, I've got the word soul, S-O-U-L. I was like, like you have these moments, you're just like, oh my gosh. And so there's this parable of the seed and the sower from the Bible. And it's about how when the sower is scattering the seeds, it usually falls on four different types of ground. So you've got hard, stony, thorny, and good. And if you grow vegetables, you know what that means. I have picked out stones from my garden soil. Thankfully, it's not too rocky, but it's something that if you're trying to grow vegetables or have a good harvest at the end of the summer, then you know you want to prepare the soil. So hard ground means that things, by the wayside, prevent the seed from sprouting at all. And so the seed becomes nothing more than bird food or squirrel food. If you're in Louisiana, you know there are a lot of squirrels here. And there have been times where I've planted, and if rain has come and exposed the seeds, then here come the squirrels and here come the birds. So that can happen if ground is hard. The stony ground provides enough soil for the seeds to germinate and begin to grow. And because there's no deepness of earth there, the plants don't take root and are soon withered in the sun. Now there's thorny ground, and that allows the seed to grow, but the competing thorns choke the life out of the beneficial plants. And then we have the fourth kind, the good ground, which receives the seed and produces fruit. So in that parable, the seed represents the word or the blessings of the divine. So just to break this down a little farther for you in terms of those four types of soil or soul, as the case may be, the hard ground represents someone who is hardened by negativity, who, you know, hears but doesn't understand the blessings. So that spiritual message, it doesn't make an impression. They're just in their little mode of negativity, la, 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 you know, not going to happen. The stony ground represents someone who professes delight in spiritual connection, but when trouble arises, that so-called faith disappears real quickly. It's out the window. It's unfortunate, but that happens to those people. You know, they say, oh, this sounds great, but then the least little thing, and it goes tippy canoe. The thorny ground represents someone who, you know, seems to receive that spiritual message, but whose heart is very full of material and worldly things that take up the time and take up the attention, and that takes the time and attention away from the spiritual message. And, you know, ends up having no time for the spiritual message or making time for spiritual unfoldment. So we've got that. And then we have before the good ground represents someone who hears, who understands, and who receives that spiritual message and then allows the divine to work to accomplish results in the life. And that's the ground. I'll tell you, that's the ground right there that I work to cultivate. And it's clear from that parable of the seed and the sower that some people allow themselves to be good soil. Now, isn't that interesting, the word allow? Some people allow themselves to be good soil. It does mean that that's a choice. And when the word of God, the divine, is sown there, that person accepts it. And they continue to mature. It's the spiritual maturity that we're talking about here. This ripening effect that happens within a person that permeates every aspect of their life, that good ground, when you're working with that kind of ground, it makes things a bit easier. You feel the flow of God's will in your life so readily. Now, sometimes that process of spiritual growth and maturity, from that heart's regeneration to that recognition of faith, is a really long journey, you know, and for some people, it's going to feel like it's a marathon. But I will tell you that that you need to keep in mind that sometimes the person who sows the seeds, sometimes the person who tends the garden, and the person who is going to harvest or be the reaper of the crops are likely to be very different people at different times. And that's important to understand, because you're going to think, well, what's the point? What's the benefit of having this? But you need to look beyond yourself to be able to embrace that. And I hope that when you're thinking about the soil, ask yourself right now, like, what soil do you best represent currently? Like, if it's not the ground that you wish to be, ask your soul what you can do to be the ground that's ready for planting and for receiving good. So what could you do? What are some things that come to mind? Even if they're simple things of, I can reach out and help a certain person in this way, or I can keep my mouth shut and give those resentments to God and embrace them with light and love and let that go. You know, whatever happens. But what attitudes or hardened thoughts about yourself or about others are you willing to let go of today? And those are things that I've been thinking about in terms of the spirit of the harvest, in terms of the Thanksgiving, because when you allow yourself to let go of the things that are hardened within you, hardened thoughts that have become things and possibly blockages of energy within your very being, it's important to let those go so that you can enter into healthy patterns of reaction. So ask yourself, what healthy patterns of reaction are you allowing yourself to express today? Notice those words. What healthy patterns of reaction are you allowing yourself to express today? So ask yourself those questions. And if you want to comment in on Facebook, you can, if that's something that resonates within you, or maybe it's something that's going to resonate within you another day. But there is this understanding of what kind of garden are you growing. So now I want you to think in terms of just like that physical growth of the field, there's a spiritual growth of people. It's this very natural, organic process, and it's ultimately overseen by infinite intelligence. So we need to remember that the sowing is just as important as the reaping, the harvesting, that is. And some of us are sowers, like I said before, and we may never see the results of our labor. We might not see that in our life here. And that is why our focus should be on being in the flow of God and the divine intelligence who sent us into the field rather than controlling that, you know, rather than focusing on the rate of growth and the amount that we get to harvest in our life, but rather focusing on being in the flow of God. There's a wonderful story of a man, and the angels said to God, "This incredible man, God, he's so beautiful and kind to other people, and what he is doing to help others is outstanding. Can we please bless him and, you know, give him, you know, extra stuff, God, because he's just so fabulous?" And this is the story, that is. And God says to the angels, "Well, you can ask the man what he wants. I don't think he wants anything, but you can certainly ask him." And the angels, you know, they asked him, and he said, you know, he thought about it for a while. He said, "You know, the thing I want is to never know how much I have helped other people. I don't ever want to have too big of an ego, too big of an arrogance, of, you know, this overblown sense of what I have done for others. I would rather walk in ignorance about that sort of thing and just spread my kindness and joy." Well, I think most people wouldn't be thinking to ask that, to please don't tell me how much I've done to help other people. Most people are going for the reward. Most people are going for the accolades. And so, you know, this mind-boggling for most people. But it was so interesting. After he asked that, you know, people would follow him. They would listen to his words. And it was all like all of these beautiful flowers that would symbolically grow up in his footsteps as he walked the earth. And he would never see it. He would be blind to that and only to the good. And, you know, I think that that's something we have to remember, that sometimes the good that we're doing for others, we may not see it now, and maybe it's best that we don't, so that we don't think that we ultimately get the credit, that God gets the credit, and that we're all part of this bigger picture, this web of existence, this tapestry of life that is here for all of us. So I hope that you keep that in mind as you go forward, that sometimes the experiencing the harvest is done in subtle ways, is done in ways that we may not perceive with our human understanding, our human essence at this time. And the aspect of this is that everything that we do is part of God, that when we work to allow all aspects of ourselves to embody prayer, that it all belongs to God. Even if we aren't praying, it all belongs to God, to the divine concept. Every day we go to a job, every time we earn a paycheck, we experience the harvest of God in those moments, the harvest. Each time we receive love with our family and those that are in our lives, we're experiencing the harvest. The way a hug can feel, it's just like, oh my goodness, the delicious nourishment of that for our souls. And each time we experience the closeness of God in a way that fills us up spiritually, we're experiencing the harvest. Anytime we are filled, we are experiencing the harvest. And that's why harvest is not something that we experience just once a year. It's something you experience on a daily basis. But it's beautiful to offer that Thanksgiving on this day, especially this year, 2020, that's been such a difficult year. It may be tricky to find the blessing, but if you get really good at identifying the simple pleasures, you're going to see blessings everywhere. You're going to say, oh my goodness, how beautiful that someone was thoughtful and brought this to me. Or maybe I should be doing something good for another person and seeing the blessing of the way that feels to do good for another person. And this is where those words of Jesus are so important, that Lord of the harvest, that the harvest that we experience on those daily basis, again, doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God, because God is the Lord of the harvest, not us. God is the Spirit of the harvest. So our jobs belong to the Lord of the harvest. Our money belongs to the Lord of the harvest. Our spouses and children belong to the Lord of the harvest. It's all God. And I like that we are part of God's family and that we're part of that divine intelligence. So when we put God in that rightful place, we really recognize the divine principle as the Lord of our harvest. We recognize that God is the one who gives us the hands to work, the minds to think, that God is the one who supplies our provisions and leads us synchronistically if we're following our divine hunches, our intuitive leads. I'll tell you, it's really powerful what happens, the alignment between people that come together, the people that are brought into our lives, the books, the words, the essences, the sensations of joy that come to us in those moments, and that it all rightfully belongs to that universal mind of all beings. So when we recognize that spirit of the harvest, we're embracing the fact that while in part our harvest is something that God gives to meet our needs, it's also something that the divine wants us to bless others with. So all those wonderful things in our lives that we give thanks for this harvest season, those wonderful things exist in a large part to be a blessing to the world around us. Where we are harvesting today's blessings because of what others have done on our behalf. You know, my mother told me a story about Denmark, and we have some Danish in our family heritage. So she was telling me how for the old times, those big wooden sailing ships that the Danes were famous for, what they would do is they would plan ahead for the harvesting of the trees, and they would cut off the tops of the trees. And they'd have the big, long, straight trunk, and they'd let it sit there for a year or so that the sap could do its running and get it all clear, whatever it needed to do, before they would then harvest it. And then they would always make sure that they would plant more trees. And that's how it's done, that you, as much as you're harvesting, you're also then planting for others ahead. And that's why, you know, in Native American culture, you're thinking seven generations ahead. You're thinking of the blessings that you're going to pay forward to the other generations, because you really are standing on the shoulders of the people who've gone before us. You know, in last week's Wednesdays with Willa, I gave you a tour, Ron Nagy, the Lily Deal historian, and I went to the assembly hall and gave you a tour of those people on the wall of the Lilydale Assembly, all those beautiful old portraits of people who have been founders and workers of spiritualism, and one of the big reasons that we're able to be here in Lilydale today. And so we give thanks for them. But, you know, others have labored, and we've really been blessed by their labors. It's not just what we're bringing to the table. It's not just what our selfish needs, what our selfish thoughts have brought forth. Other people have done. And our efforts in honest and integrity ways that brings forth beautiful things. So if you look at the history of civilization, you need to admit, I think we all need to admit, that we have enjoyed that world. The freedom, the law, the byproduct of the godly divine heritage. And so that's an important aspect of Thanksgiving, giving thanks for the people who've gone before us. So perhaps this Thanksgiving, what you're going to do is you're going to be thinking about the people in spirit, in your own family, and your among your own friends that did something beautiful, either just by just plain old existing and being present in your life, a sacrifice they may have made for you to bless you with, a mentoring role they took on in your life. Who are those people to you that have really been part of growing you as a person? Today, this year, it's especially important to give thanks for the people who've gone before us, who helped to shape us. Give thanks for the people that are in your life currently. Another important aspect of the spirit of the harvest is that you choose what you eat from the harvest. Right? You choose what you get to eat, what you're going to take from those things. So I'm going to ask you, what spiritual food are you eating today? What are you taking from the harvest of today? Are you eating words and feelings of anger and fear and worry? Doom? Right? Is that what you're eating today? Or are you consuming words and feelings of love and peace and joy? What are you consuming? What are you choosing in terms of your spiritual food? You know, this is a time to really focus on that. Perhaps, you know, grab a devotional and read some words so they can soak in and absorb. I'll tell you, that's what really works for me because I'm a reader, and I love how words, when I allow them to resonate through my being, clear things out. Is this a time where you really need to get out and take a walk and be one with nature and align yourself with those things? What is it time for so that you can eat and eat well from the feast of life that's there? And from the time I've really spent pondering this issue and preparing for the show, for preparing for this lecture, the one thing I've really walked away from for this Thanksgiving season is that simple truth that we really need to focus on our connection with God, with that divine principle, and with the blessings of the spirit of the harvest. Because God's bounty is showing up in my life, is showing up in your life, and it can show up today and every day. And what are those blessings? Can you identify what those blessings are? Because, I mean, any given day, there could be a moment, a day that where you could list like 10 blessings in 10 seconds. Boom. But then there'll be other moments where you can barely conceptualize one because you're so in the midst of the onslaught of the storm of your life. But pause. That's the time to say, what is it that I am going to eat from this harvest? What is before me? How do I show up in this particular moment? And I'm going to give you a real life example. One of my friends has been having a truly difficult time. She was hospitalized with a severe organ infection, and she endured a surgery and hospital recovery during COVID times. And because it's during COVID, her husband, her family, they weren't able to see her. I mean, she went away in the ambulance, and they could not go and see her. I mean, there was the absolute reality that she could be dying because it was that severe, and ICU and like all that kind of, like, you know, waiting for the infection and then being able to try to get it out of her. So it was so severe. And she ultimately was able to get that cleared out of her and go home and see her family. And then her mother-in-law had an incapacitating stroke. And her mother-in-law had to be alone in the hospital during COVID times. And then the mother-in-law returned home, and my friend continued to help care for her mother-in-law at home despite her own continuing health issues. She did have that. And she had her son house fire. She had her husband go off the road into trees, a car accident. And then right after that, her father-in-law had a heart attack. So, like, you think you have troubles. Like, whoa, it's amazing how these people can have these circumstances where it's one thing right after the other. And let me tell you something about my friend, my amazing friend. She experienced the shock and the fear of all of those things, and she endured by God's grace. It really is incredible. She's endured by God's grace, and she knows that God provided for her, that God provided her with a wonderful, kind surgeon who went the extra mile to make her feel comfortable, mind, body, spirit. He took, 10 minutes or so and really, really connected with her on a human, beautiful, spiritual level. And she could feel the gratitude of that. And then angels cushioned the impact of her husband's car accident and like all those other things that happened that I just mentioned. She recognized that throughout all of those things that God's hand was on her shoulder. And that's what she said. She says that's what she believes. That's what she knows. She knows that God's hand is on her shoulder through all of these things, that these blessings. So if you can imagine what her Thanksgiving is like, the blessings of life, that she feels so grateful to still be here, still be alive. And she is having to really embrace those simple pleasures and give thanks for the bounty in her life. And she's really focusing on today. And she's focusing on one step at a time. And I'll tell you, she prays. We all can pray. We all can have gratitude and thanksgiving. And we can choose how we're going to react to the events of our life. And we can enter into true awareness of the blessings and the abundance in our lives and really maintain an attitude of good happening in our spiritual harvest and the alignment with God's laws. And I really think that it's important to know that the force of creation, of growth and progress, is really starting to happen within this week. This is the opportunity for you to create memories that strengthen you, that can help you to use your creative power to attract positive people and experiences in your life, to help you support your vision, to help you grow in your life so that you can really harvest peace and celebrate with thankfulness the events and carry forward that inspiration that focused connection with God really provides. So I want to say, let this be a call to Thanksgiving. Allow the cornucopia of your life, that which is the beautiful understanding of Thanksgiving. Pumpkin represents this Thanksgiving, right? It's to let this be a call to thankfulness, to a call to trust in God's way in your life, a call for vigilance and prayer and wisdom, and to really identify what you are thankful for and in what ways you have felt God's grace and the spirit of the harvest and the spirit of abundance of God in your life today. There's a wonderful writer by the name of Ernest Holmes. And Ernest Holmes really understood affirmation, really understood spiritual natural law. And so I'm just going to read his quote briefly. "The seed times and harvest of your thought will depend entirely upon planting your affirmations with complete, unqualified faith, and then permitting the divine principle to produce the harvest." Powerful. It's unqualified faith. Faith is such a dynamic component of this, and then the gratitude space that we enter into. The law of gratitude is an important spiritual natural law. The more you embrace the gratitude for the little things, for the big things, more things come your way. That is a spiritual principle that you need to apply in your life if you haven't already. So this harvest season, whether you're alone or with others, I hope that you're going to join me in pausing for a time of reflection and giving thanks for our spiritual harvest today and the recognition of the divine at work in our lives. So if you wish, you could close your eyes and just affirm with me today the following. And you place yourself in the prayer. Take a few deep breaths. breath is a conscious reminder that each moment is precious and we have a choice of how deep or how shallow we live and breathe. Affirm with me the following today. As I view this day, I think of it as a mental garden wherein I shall plant the selected seeds of truth and love in the creative soil of my soul. I will weed out that which would produce worry, fear, or limitation. Deeply and consciously, I will commune with the universal mind of all beings and plant the eternal ideas of life, infinite intelligence, law, and love. This day is filled with prosperity, success, vitality, and health, holiness, and happiness. God's abundance is everywhere present, and my creative mind produces an outpouring of good. I bring peace, prosperity, and security to everyone I connect with. I bless and praise and thank the giver of all good, the spirit of the harvest, for the unlimited supply of love and grace. Amen. Oh, it's so powerful to feel those words and the vibration. We know that words carry vibration, the strength of meaning, and they align with divine principle. That's why it's so powerful to work with affirmations, to recognize those things, because as you write them on the field of your mind, they start to take form. The thoughts become things and start to take form in our life. And so while we affirm that good and show evidence of faith in our life, we enter into that harvest of then we reap that which we have sown. We plant those seeds in the universe. That's how we're working with the universe. And then the universe provides that for us and we are able to harvest it. So that's how that works. It's really kind of exciting, I have to say. And I want to tell you that next week I will have on my show the lovely Mavis Patilla. Mavis is an evidential medium and a spiritual teacher of mediumship. And she is a wonderful person I've had on the show before. We're going to be talking about mediumship. It's such a pearl in our lives of great price. And I hope that you can join us for next week on Wednesdays with Willa at 10 a.m., same time, same place, on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. Will also be uploaded to YouTube. So please join us then. And I have some other great shows scheduled for December. And I also have a special event that is coming up on December 7th. I'll be posting about that soon. That's going to be a gallery reading event. If you are a subscriber to my website newsletter, as I mentioned before, you'll get a special discount on that. So another reason to get signed up on that is so that you can have the notifications and have the advance opportunity to sign up first for things. So I hope that you can join me for that as well. And then I've got some great classes I'm lining up for January, one of which will probably be positive affirmations so that you really can know how to craft them. I think it's going to be a perfect thing for the new year for 2021 so that you can really understand how to frame the words, how to frame your energy so that you can have the harvest, the outcome that you're looking for ultimately in God's will. So wonderful. Thank you so much for your kind attention today. And I'll tell you, you know, when you look at the fields of your life and the future, when you look at those things, know that things are ready to be harvested in you. Right here, right now, there are things to be thankful for in the harvest of your life. And I hope that you see that more than ever after today's show. All right. Wishing you all a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving. And I'm so grateful for every single one of you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.